We're going to begin our Freedom Series this morning on the first message, taken from five words in Romans chapter 8. And my title today is this: In Christ, everything is yours for the taking, free of charge. Everything is yours for the taking, free of charge. And I want us to use those four words in verse 32, if you'd look there, please. We'll begin a little slowly, but I really want you to see this. The four words are these: freely give us all things. He says, don't you know God has freely given you all things? I've never been more captivated by the thought, the reality even, that if you're not free, you don't belong there. If you're not free, you don't belong there. Jesus, John 8 tells us, came to set us free indeed. That's absolutely, completely, utterly, of course you're free about everything. And if you're not free, you don't belong there. I don't care if it's a job or a relationship or trying to win the hot dog contest. Now the Bible tells us he's given us all things freely to enjoy. And I'm not talking about things this morning. But we talk all the time about, you know, the easy leadership of the Holy Ghost. And we believe in that. But I'm going to tell you, one of the greatest earmarks of the easy leadership of the Holy Ghost is to be free. Yeah. If it doesn't make you free, keep you free, guide you freely, you ain't free. And if you ain't free, Jesus isn't there. This verse 32 says, freely give or gives us all things. I'm telling you here now, you've been freely given all things. That exact same phraseology, terminology is used in 1 Corinthians 2:12. Look at this in 1 Corinthians 2:12. I want you to see this because it's such a blessing. I'll say it again. If you're not free, you don't belong there. I don't mean you've done everything your own way. That's not free. That's everything your own way. Exactly. You'll never have everything your own way this side of glory. But in 1 Corinthians 2:12 it says, now we have received not the spirit of the world. That's the spirit of bondage, Romans 8 tells us. Again, unto fear. But the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. The same phrase again. Freely given to us by God. Freely give us all things. You see, this is actually the grace message. The gospel of grace. I'm here to tell you, in light of the bondages that you have been living under, whether they were religious or just carnal, Christ has come to set you free indeed, and to facilitate that, freely giving you all things necessary. You see, the door has to be opened. You smash that door down and you weren't freely given that open door. I didn't say don't knock all day and all night and for 2 years if God wants you to. I didn't say don't push against the stone if it doesn't move. But if you don't have freedom inside you and what you're doing, you'd better reevaluate it because you're barking up the wrong tree. As Paul calls it in other places, we're the Lord's freed man. We're the Lord's freed man. And if we're the Lord's freed man, then the Lord didn't lead you into bondage. Right. He frees us. That's why we have a saving ministry, where we can deliver and heal and set free. That's why I do certain things and don't do certain things. I'm staying free inside. Beautiful. You got to stay free inside. If you aren't free inside, you don't belong there. Right. You don't belong doing that. You don't belong with that. Because I want to, I labor this point. I modified it for the service, but I could have changed it. In Christ, everything is yours for the taking, free of charge. You see, there isn't any freedom necessary that God hasn't given you in Christ to do whatever you have to do freely. It's not supposed to be hard work. Religion makes everything a hard work. It makes it a pain in the neck. It makes responsibility a pain in the neck. It makes authority a pain in the neck. It makes the church a pain in the neck. It makes the cross a pain in the neck. It makes your marriage a pain in the neck. It makes you a pain in the neck. That's the bottom line. It does. And that's why I said a moment ago that if you are not free, you don't belong there. Jesus came to set us free. He didn't came to... Now, I didn't say he came to make us lawless. But you don't have to say that to God's people. I mean, get off my back. I got a new heart. I'm no lawless from freedom. But I'm free. And I'll tell you something else. Sometimes my freedom looks lawless. To the narrow-minded, to the uninformed, to the inexperienced, to the immature, sometimes my freedom looks lawless. That's why you need to shut up and mind your business a little bit. You can't, you're not qualified to handle my business. And by the way, I throw this out free of charge. That's why sometimes you ought to keep your mouth shut about something going on in your life or something you're planning on, because maybe the other guy is going to get offended by that. I mean, he's been trying for 3 weeks now to get a loan to buy that car, got turned down every time. And here you went along, paid cash for the thing. Well, don't tell him that. You're going to break someone's heart. Well, I'm excited. Well, of course you're excited. He'd be excited too. Shut up. You're free. He's free. Let's all be where we're at. Then if you're not free, you don't belong there. You see, in Christ, everything is yours for the taking, free of charge. God is not going to hire you as a laborer without giving you the utensils and the tools and the opportunity and the salary. As a matter of fact, God is an outrageous grace employer.
Yes.
Because he hires them all in the morning and offers them a certain pay for the day. And for those folks who show up at 4 o'clock, just before the 4:30 bell, he gives them a full day's wage.
Hallelujah.
Now, that's what I call grace pay.
It is.
Grace pay. We're not those who extract, extort, force out. We're not into squeezing the last drop of juice.
Right.
See, we're free. Mm-hmm. And if I don't feel free, I've got to make some adjustments. Sometimes you don't feel free. There's not even an adjustment you have to make. You've got to make adjustments about not making adjustments. You've got to say, hold it. Hold it a little bit up in here. I'm uptight. That's ridiculous. I've got to back up and sit down in the corner of a, excuse me a moment. I'm just going to go sit over there a while and eat my grapes. I've got some reevaluating to do up in here, and I think I just got uptight. And Jesus set me free, and I just got a couple of bondages going here, and I'm about to explode, and we're not supposed to be about to explode. The Christian life isn't a pressure cooker.
No.
It's a slow sautéing in a copper pan, honey. Yes, all right. In Christ, everything is yours for the taking, free of charge. I've got an outline, I'm going to get to it, but I can't get past the fact that everything is yours for the taking, free of charge. You see, I want to broaden that out, because we so immediately tack onto it every religious doctrine we can think of. Oh yes, everything is mine, free of charge, in Christ. Cyclops. I believe he gave us the whole world freely to enjoy. And with the realm of A, your capacities per God's design, your calling per God's design, and as you go through the day, per God's design, falling, walking in his steps, I'm going to just tell you here and now, I just don't know why we aren't taking over and doing and experiencing everything. I don't know. You said, what are you talking about? I'm serious. God gave us our brains to invent and to do all kinds of marvelous things. You know, God, science, and money. That's what it takes. In Christ, everything is yours for the taking, free of charge. And I think it's time we just sat down and said, I'm free, and I'm feeling free, and I'm not changing that for you or me. And the fact of the matter is, if it becomes threatened, I reevaluate, I reassess, and I check myself out and make sure I'm not the one doing it. Because if you've got my temperament, you can get frustrated and flustered and upset for nothing. I'm good at that. My mom taught me how to do that, and I learned my lessons well. I could be a Valium drug addict. I've never had any in my life, but I've just heard about what a lovely thing it is. It makes you a flatliner. And sometimes I just wish something would make me a flatliner other than a club on the head. But this is not the will of God for Frederick A. Drum, that I become one uptight ball of trouble and worry and fretting over what? Nothing. I'll tell you what I think about what I should be worrying about, but right now I'm just worrying. This is not a good thing. And look, you say, well, that's your flesh. Look, just because nothing ever worried you in your entire life, don't think you're necessarily spiritual. You may be just stupid and irresponsible. Perhaps you should wake up and get out of bed and look at the whole world going crazy around you. I don't know. I'm not going to get into that territory. I'm going to be very nice today. But I'm talking here about the fact that everything is yours for the taking, free of charge. Just leave the in Christ part off there to blow your mind a little bit. Everything is yours for the taking, free of charge, what Jesus said to us. I mean, we just read 1 Corinthians 2:12, but in our verse 32, which you've turned back to Romans 8, it says, freely give us all things. I'm absolutely persuaded of this, that this is the message of grace. I'm free, man. I'm free to succeed. I'm free to fail. I'm free to do it, and I'm free not to do it. I am free. So if I get out of this world of freedom, I've gone into some area, you know, and I'm not saying, well, look, I'm going to get you under a guilt trip, which you don't feel free. That's also another free. We've got to stop this whole thing.
Yeah, it's true.
There are five phrases in Romans 8, and I'm going to read the phrases so you don't have to necessarily turn there, because I'm going to turn to other scriptures. But under the heading of freely given or gives us all things, I want to say five things from five phrases in Romans 8. From the phrase in verse 29, for whom he foreknew. Whom he foreknew. I want to say this, number one. There isn't a thing about you he hasn't always known. For whom he foreknew. Number one, there isn't a thing about you he hasn't always known. Number one, there isn't a thing about you he hasn't always known. Verse 29, for whom he foreknew. Foreknowledge. God knew from the beginning. God always knew. God has always known. He doesn't get surprised. Number one, there isn't a thing about you he hasn't always known, and that's supposed to set you free.
Yes.
Freely given us all things. Hey, these five points are lie at the core of freely gives us all things, there to sustain our freedom, perhaps even with arguments the devil might make in your mind against you. Freely given us all things. Number one, there isn't a thing about you he doesn't know. You're continually discovering things about you, bad and good. You're continually dealing with things about you, bad and good. You're looking at decisions and plans and mistakes and whatever. There isn't a thing about you he hasn't always known. And I can prove that from Psalm 139, if we're going to read that thing. It's a long chapter, Psalm 139, to go over and over and over again the fact that, O Lord, you have searched me and known me. Not you are going to, you're keeping current, Lord. You have to move quickly here. No, you, O Lord, you have searched me and known me, Psalm 139:1. He has searched you. I want to just say this, it's so beautiful, because we're using the key word right here, foreknown. Before anything ever began, he saw it all. I just searched you and he knew you. He searched you and he knew you. He starts to elaborate. He says, you know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thoughts are far off. Don't explain to him. You comprehend my path and my lying down. You are acquainted with all of my ways. There's not a word on my tongue, but behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. He says, you have, past tense, hedged me behind and before, and laid past tense your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. The fact of the matter is, in this foreknowledge of God, there isn't a thing about you he hasn't always known. Not a thing. And because it's foreknowledge, it doesn't mean to say it's causative. It just means he saw and knew. You have searched me and known me. He watched this whole movie before he ever decided to make the movie. He watched all the people and all the characters. I know you. I've always known you. See, he freely gives us all things, knowing what he's dealing with. I heard something so big in my spirit this morning. Tell him it's all right. I don't know who that's for, but he said, tell him it's all right. But the devil loves to put pressure on us. He likes to rob us of that freedom. And he likes to give us a bondage, some pious thing he comes up with. He's always coming up with pious stuff. He said, tell him it's all right. Tell him it's all right. For whom he foreknew. There isn't a thing about you he hasn't always known, and you've got to go, oh, thank God, you know. Well, I can't believe I would do. I can't believe I did that, honey. He knew that before you were born. You're just finding out about yourself. You're all just depressed and wiped out over something he knew before you were born. He knew it, and because it's not causative, he saw you do it. That's why it's interesting. He doesn't say in Psalm 139, you made me do this and you made me do that. He says, you've known me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thoughts are far off. You comprehend my path and my lying down. You're acquainted with all my ways. He knew. He saw that. All the hidden stuff, all the open stuff, all the half hidden, half open. He saw it all. Freely given us all things. He said, I've given you freedom here to get out, to get in, to get over, to get under, to get through, to get. I've given you freely. Mm-hmm. You have to reorientate your mind and stop thinking bondage, weak thought. Well, I can't because is the devil's lie. I have no choice is the devil's lie. You may have had none yesterday, but I believe, folks, he's freely given us all things so we can just freely get out of it all. The devil invented the glue. God invented the solvent.
Amen.
Get you out of that thing. There isn't a thing about you he hasn't always known. Mm-hmm. You've got to let yourself stop and say, my God. And I just thought yesterday afternoon you did because I was being so very good. Well, I've made all these 14 promises. I'm going to tell you, I'm glad you want to be very good. And you made those 14 promises and God help you to keep them. But I'm going to tell you here and now, he's always known you. Not a thing about you, doesn't know. You're foreknown. You come to the table exposed by the God Almighty who created all things, maker of heaven and earth. You come exposed. Whereas the psalmist said, I came into the world naked. What a picture of the reality of it all from before the foundation of the world. And I'll leave it just as exposed, naked. That's my first word in verse 29. For number two, we go to the next word, which is, he also predestined to be. Would you please turn to the person next to you and say, I'm predestined to be?
I am predestined to
Now, point number one was there isn't a thing about you he hasn't always known. Number two, there never was a time when he didn't believe in your future. There never was a time when he didn't believe in your future. I'm predestined, man. That means from the beginning, he believed in my future. And so how can he worry about that? You think the train driver is all upset about the fact that he's on the train, is supposed to go to Baltimore? I sure hope to God these tracks take me to Baltimore. Don't be ridiculous. He's happy. It can't go anywhere else. I like that. Jeremiah 1 is perhaps one of the greatest revelations of this you'll ever read. There never was a time when you didn't believe in your future. I want you to know the devil's going to put that under attack. There never was a time when you didn't believe in your future, but he planned it. He predestined. That's not puppet talk. You got choices, darling. But if you think you're a good chess player, you don't play to them. He's got your moves figured. He's got better moves. That's why the psalmist was inspired to say, whither shall I flee from the presence of the Lord? Presence of the Lord. He played your checkers, buddy, long before he invented checkers. Yeah. Jeremiah chapter 1 says, verse 5, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. He's got, number one, got our ways covered. Number two, he's got you covered. There never was a time when you didn't believe in your future. He also predestined you to be. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Jeremiah 1:5. Before you were born, I sanctified you, buddy. And I ordained you to be a prophet to the nations. Boy, 5 right there. Do it all for you. I'm going to read 6 and 7 just to remind you. Oh, Lord, then, said I, behold, I cannot speak. I can't do this. I'm too young, he says. And the Lord said, do not say I'm young. For you shall go to all to whom I send you. And whatever I command you, you shall speak. And don't be afraid of their faces. I'm with you to deliver you, says the Lord. Number one, there isn't a thing about you he hasn't always known, for whom he foreknew. Number two, there never was a time when he didn't believe in your future. He also predestined you. He worked with you and your mistakes from the very beginning, folks. It's all grace, isn't it?
Yeah.
Number three, verse 30, those beautiful words. These he also called. Let me read points 1 and 2 and go into 3. There isn't a thing about you he hasn't always known, whom he foreknew. Number 2. There never was a time when he didn't believe in your future. He also predestined to be. Number 3. There has always been a place for you in his plans that no one can usurp. These he also called. There's always been a place for you in his plans that no one can usurp. These he also called. Point one is about knowing you from before you were born. Point two is about predestining your life. Point three is about determining your place, your calling, that no one can usurp. This is he also called, and whom God calls is called.
Yeah, right.
That's why it says the gifts and the calling of God are without repentance, because he didn't make them this afternoon after 14 facts for and against.
Right.
He made them before the world began. There has always been a place for you in his plans that no one can usurp. These he also called. And there is such a wonderful little message here in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. These verses you have to look at. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, at the end of the chapter, you'll get a blessing out of this. There's always been a place for you in his plans that no one can usurp. These he also called, verse 30a. In 1 Corinthians 1, at the end of the chapter, in verse 26, it says, for you see your calling, brethren. that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God has chosen. But God has chosen. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things that are mighty, and the base things of the world, and the things which are despised, God has chosen, and the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things which are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us, he is our wisdom, our righteousness, our sanctification, and our redemption, and the reason for our glory, through verse 31. My message freely given us all things, verse 32. Point one, there isn't a thing about you he hasn't always known, whom he foreknew. Number two, there never was a time when he didn't believe in your future. He also predestined to be. Number three, there has always been a place for you in his plans that no one can usurp. These he also called. Number four, there's not a day that goes by when you don't look like Jesus to him. There's not a day that goes by when you don't look like Jesus to him. Verse 30b, these he also justified. Number four, there's not a day that goes by when you don't look like Jesus to him, capital H. Verse 30b, these he also glorified. I'm going to tell you, we got that down. I want you to be able to look at this over and over again. There's not a day that goes by when you don't look like Jesus to him, that is God. Our verse 30b of Romans 8, these he also justified. He has declared you righteous every day. And you have never not looked like Jesus. And if you want another verse, 2 Corinthians 5:21 puts it rather beautifully, ladies and gentlemen. It says this, for he made him, God made Jesus, who knew no sin to be sin for us. Why? Rest of the verse, following the comma. That we might become the righteousness of God in him. We have past tense become the righteousness of God in him. And when God looks at you, he sees the righteousness of Jesus. Number four, there's not a day that goes by when you don't look like Jesus to him. These he also justified. Number five. I'm going to read all four to get to number five, if you don't mind. This is called rehearsing the information. Number one, there isn't a thing about you he hasn't always known, for whom he foreknew. Verse 29. Number two, there never was a time when he didn't believe in your future. He also predestined to be. Verse 29b. Number three, there has always been a place for you in his plans that no one can usurp. These he also called. 30a. Number four, there is not a day that goes by when you don't look like Jesus to him. Verse 30b, these he also justified. And number five, there is a crown of glory he is looking forward to giving you in heaven. There is a crown of glory that he's looking forward to giving you in heaven. And I want to say right now, there is a crown of glory that he is looking forward to giving you in heaven. My verse 30c, these he also glorified. These he also glorified. Our subject, the series subject, is freedom. The message, in Christ everything is yours for the taking, free of charge. Our pivotal verse 32, freely give or give in us all things. It's not future tense. And number five, there is a crown of glory he is looking forward to giving you in heaven. These he also glorified. You can look up 2 Timothy 4, 7 and 8. He says, henceforth there is awaiting for me a crown of righteousness, a crown of glory. There is your crown waiting for you. It is, by the way, it is earned by Jesus, not you. Amen. Now maybe we better turn to 2 Timothy chapter 4 so I can just settle that for you. You are not going to earn this crown of glory. I'll show you why. Don't we like to look at the text, verse 7 to verse 6, but no. Verse 7 to verse 8, but verse 8 follows verse 7. It's not attached necessarily. I have fought a good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith, period. He then says in 2 Timothy 4, 8, finally, that's ending the whole thing. There's laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day. And not to me only, but also to all those who love his appearing. That whole verse is talking about a crown of righteousness that Jesus gave you. You are not going to drag your righteousness into heaven and say, put it on my head.
Yeah, right.
The fact of the matter is, he gives it to those who love his appearing. What's that? Oh boy, I've heard that verse stretched all over like a rubber band. Those who love his appearing. Why? Thank God the guy who paid for it is going to show up to show I can come in.
Yeah.
There's a crown of glory in heaven today that belongs to you. And I'll go back to where I was. And I didn't finish my message. And I've had enough of it. If you are not free, you don't belong there. I'm telling you here and now, folks. In your head, or in your experiences, or in your life, or in your associations, or in your work, I don't care. If you are not free, you don't belong there. You don't. Why? Well, Jesus came to set you free indeed. And the only way you know God is with you is when you're free. Because he has not given us a spirit of bondage, again to fear.
Yeah.
That's the thing. He's given us a spirit of power, love, sound mind, to be free.
Mm-hmm.
When I'm not free, I've got to check that. So hold it. I've been freely given all things. Freely. It's a free thing going on around me. You can call it liberty if you like. You can call it grace if you like. I don't care what you call it, as long as you end up free. Everything is yours for the taking, free of charge. So if God's... Why could Paul be glad when he was about to be executed? Hey, he was free inside. He was in the will of God. He knew he was doing what was right and best. He knew any moment he was going to have tea with God. He was free inside. I'll say it again. Verse 32, freely gives us, or given us, all things. You've been given everything you need to come out of this thing and wear a crown in the end. And along the way, he says, I want you to know that I have foreknown you from the beginning. And I have predestined you, because I believe in your future. I've given you a future and a hope. I've called you with specific plans in mind. I've justified you, so when I look at you, I see Jesus, and that means you're in. And I want to glorify you. There's a crown here waiting for you, because you believed me. You lived free. You see, you didn't live free in your own name because you're smart and can figure it. You didn't live free because you paid your way and forced it. You didn't live free because of your personality. You lived free because of the cross. Because of the cross, I'm free. And I'm staying free. It's my right. It's my right to be free. It's my right to be free in here. And then work with the free out there. This always takes a little bit of an effort. But all along the way, I'm going one step at a time in freedom. The second my step is not free, I'm not taking it. And I'm not coming out of my bedroom till I feel free. And then when I do come out of my bedroom feeling free, I'm taking that freedom with me. And if I'm in some place or in something, I'm not going to do it. Because I'm not letting it rob my freedom. I think of Lot in Sodom and Gomorrah. It says he vexed his righteous soul daily with the unlawful deeds. Well, then turn the TV off. Get out of that bar. Get away from those kind of people. Because they're tiny. You know the problem is we reduce it to human beings. No. Paul said we wrestle not against flesh and blood, that's human beings, but against spiritual stuff going on behind the scenes, devils that want to get your freedom. They don't like you being free. They don't want you to be free. They want to take you and put you back in the bondage that bound Satan and shut him up. And you don't have to. Freely given us all things. I'm free. Stay free. Rejoice in your freedom. Let freedom guide you. I'm very proud of you. Let's bow our heads. Lord, we know that in Christ everything is ours for the taking, free of charge. And we're amazed at your cross and how good you've been to us through the grace of the Lord Jesus and that the price he paid on that cross for our righteousness. We value our freedom and we make a new commitment this morning to let freedom be our guide inside, outside, and around us. To be free indeed as Jesus taught. Thank you for these incredible promises. We set ourselves free because of them. Help us, Holy Spirit, today. Give us fresh revelation of the liberty of the sons and daughters of God. And let my people know a peace through that freedom and a prosperity through that freedom. And we'll say God did it and give you the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.